want to talk to you about becoming a good follower. Becoming a good follower, because really, if you're going to be a good leader, you have to first learn to become a good follower. And this is what Jesus was talking about, you know, when he called the disciples and he said the first thing that he said, in other words, these guys, they were going to be these incredible leaders, these incredible disciples, these incredible apostles, and they're all this leadership and impact and write the Bible and influence. And the first thing Jesus said, first thing out of his mouth was what? Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And I think a lot of times in church we talk about leadership and that's really important, but really the first step for all of us to becoming whatever situation, remember, we all lead in some capacity. Definition of leadership is just influence. You influence people at work. You're in either influencing people in a positive way or in a negative way. Can I have a good amen on that? So we're all called to influence. This is the great commission of the gospel, to go and make disciples. In other words, go and influence people for Christ. But the first step of becoming a good leader or good influencer is learning how to become a good follower. So I just want to give you three simple things tonight with a lot of scripture. If you're taking notes, just kind of jot these down. We won't be able to get to all of them, but just three crucial points that we all need to constantly be good followers in, okay? Number one, we follow God's word. We follow God's word. But I want to talk to you for a few minutes here about biblical accuracy. Biblical accuracy, because a lot of times we talk about following God's word, but we need to understand how to read the Bible, how to study the Bible, Bible. And as the Bible says, how to rightly divide the word of truth. Watch this, 2 Timothy chapter 2:15, it says, do your best. Everybody say, do your best. So we have a responsibility as Christians. We have to do our part. We might not know everything in the Bible, but guess what? We have to do our best to know as much as we can, and more importantly, rightly divide it. Understand the difference between a precept, a principle, a doctrine. Understand how to look at things in context. It says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. A workman who does not need, see, it takes work. Everybody say work. It takes discipline. A workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles, or New King James would say rightly divides, correctly handles the word of truth. Maybe four components here when we're talking about the word of God, how to study it, how to understand it, and how to apply it. First of all, there's precepts. Okay, a precept is a commandment or direction given as a rule of action or conduct. I'm going to talk about this. Now, the next thing here, a principle. A principle is made up of several precepts. A principle is a fundamental law or truth from which others are derived. Then the next thing here is a common thing that we've heard is doctrine. Know yourself and the doctrine. In doing so, you'll save both yourselves and those who hear you. That means when you have biblical accuracy and you understand how all the principles work together to make up a doctrine, we are saved by grace through faith, not works. That is a doctrine that is made up of several principles of our new covenant relationship with Jesus Christ that is undergirded by even more precepts. Are you following me? It goes on, doctrine. Doctrine is a principle or body of principles presented for acceptance or belief. And then very important here is context. Everybody say context. Context is the part of a text or statement that surrounds a particular word or passage and determines its meaning or the circumstances in which event occurs or setting. This is so, so important when you're studying the Bible or when you're getting understanding of the Bible. You always want to ask yourself, what is the context of this? What is the literal interpretation of this scripture? In other words, you know, there's a lot of greetings in the Bible. And some of those greetings might have let's take one for example. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Don't make a doctrine off of that. Can I have a good amen? Do you see what I'm saying? There's a precept there. The precept there is talking about we need to be accepted in our greeting. It's talking about a course of action for a greeting, but you can't make a doctrine out of that. You can't go out and say, you know what? Every single church, when somebody walks in the door, somebody needs to plant them one right on the mouth or the cheek or the head or whatever. Are you following me? In so many things of what we study or what people look at in the Bible, they'll take a scripture, which is a principle or even just a precept, and they'll try to pull that out and out of context and make it this big doctrine, and that's when you get in trouble. Look at these scriptures here. Jesus, the Pharisees, they were asking these questions, you know, about angels and if a dude's wife dies, and no, if the wife's husband dies, and, you know, she marries his brother, and then he dies and marries the next guy, who she's going to be married to in heaven. But Jesus brings this out. That's the context. Jesus replies, Matthew 22:29, he says, you are in error. In other words, you're off. You're deceived. You're out of context. The question is not even appropriate to answer. He goes on and says, look, you are in error because, everybody say because. Because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God. In your life, you will err if you do not know the scriptures. In your life, you will not experience the power of God unless you know the scriptures. Because faith comes by hearing, and that hearing of the what? Word of God. This is a powerful. So many of us, we want to be successful and we want to learn this and we want to be better than that. Well, I'm telling you right now, you are going to err in life unless you know the scriptures. The word of God. Look at this. 1 Timothy chapter 3:15. He says, I write so that you know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar. This is powerful. The pillar and ground of the truth. Is that heavy? Think about that. You know, you hear a lot, and John Muir was talking about, you know, when we talk about those who are planted in the house of the Lord will what? Flourish. Well, that soul of God's house, guess what? It also serves as the ground of the truth. In other words, truth is not relative. Do you see what I'm saying? I say there's a pool of water right here. You say there's not a pool of water right here. Guess what? We're not both right. There is a pool of water right here. And that common thing, you know, and you go out there and, you know, well, you know, there's all these many ways to God and all these paths lead back to God. Watch this. There's one truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. Okay? And all the love I can say, any religion, whether it's nominal Christian, whether they even add Jesus into it, if it does not adhere to the scriptures, then that is not a Christian. That is not a faith-based faith that really serves the one true God, Jesus Christ. Can I have a good amen to that? Okay? So I'm saying this right now. You know, there's things like Mormonism. There's things like Jehovah's Witness. There's other things like that. They have Jesus in there, but guess what? Those are false religions. Okay? That is not the truth. Jesus says, you know, if anyone tries to go up another way and doesn't come through me, that is a thief and a robber. You might say, well, Stovall, that is so narrow-minded. Listen, man. That's so exclusive. Jesus was exclusive. It doesn't mean he's not accepting. It doesn't mean that he's not loving. He desires everyone to come to repentance. But I'm telling you, there's one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. And we need to understand that the church must always be the ground of the truth. We're here to proclaim truth. We're here to live in the truth. We're here to know the truth. We're here to experience the truth setting us free. We're here to speak the truth in love. We're here to let the truth flow out of us. Not in a condemnatory way, but speaking the truth in love, as the Bible says. But we do need to know, man, that we are responsible as Christians and as the church, man, to defend the faith and to speak the truth and to let the world know that, guess what? There is no other name given under heaven by which men can be saved except the name of Jesus Christ. Okay? And if there is a religion, like Mormonism or Jehovah's Witnesses. Man, we see a lot of Mormons saved in our church. They get really fired up. I know a few of them. They're all fired up, man, when they get out of that Book of Mormon and get in the real book. Do you know what I'm saying? So, but even when you're out there, new Christians don't know, and like, okay, well, they have Jesus. Or they add Jesus to that. You know, and they have these things that they add. But listen, the real Jesus, Paul said this. He said, even if another person preaches a Jesus, he talks about this in Galatians. He says, even if there is another Jesus or another, if there is another Jesus or another gospel preached, he said, man, that's, I don't even want to say what he said, but it was heavy. Okay? So, well, that, it said, that let that person be accursed. Do you see? There's one Jesus. He's the Jesus of this book, not any other book. Okay? And we're called in love to defend that and to know that. And if we don't know the scriptures, we're going to err. Okay? So I don't have time tonight. I want to get into another one on pointing out some of those truths so you can know how to accurately defend when somebody says, well, why isn't Mormonism a Christian religion, or why isn't Jehovah's Witnesses a Christian religion? You need to know how to defend that, okay? So I know you're all wanting me to get into that, but that's a whole nother series. So watch this. All scripture is God-breathed. Everybody say God-breathed. And he's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God wants you equipped for every single thing that he's called you to do in life. But to do that, you're going to have to be grounded in the truth and have an understanding of the Word of God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, it says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Very important here. For prophecy never came from the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Here's what this means. It means every Scripture in this Bible has to be defined by other Scriptures. That's the first way. When you look at a Scripture and you say, what does this mean? The first point of definition of that scripture in the precept, principle, doctrine, and the context that is presented needs to be defined by other scriptures. Can I have an amen? You just don't pull things out and think, well, I think it means this. When it says, okay, we're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Okay, what does that mean? Well, let's look at other scriptures on grace. Let's look at other scriptures on works. Are you following me? Okay, watch this. Let me give you one more example and then we'll roll. Okay? It's a great, well, here's, I have several. Okay, I got to skip them. Watch this. Okay, I'm skipping them. Let's go on. Okay, we follow. I was just going to bring out a couple of scriptures and show, you know, 3 John 2. There's also Matthew 18, 15 through 20, and just kind of walk you through that and show you. Okay, I'll go there. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. It says, okay, watch this, verse 15. I talked a little bit about this. These are these kind of things that get pulled out of context. Same thing with like 3 John 2 where it talks about, beloved, I pray that you prosper and be in good health even as your soul prospers. How many of you are familiar with that passage of Scripture? Okay, what's the context of that? It is a what? It's a greeting. It's a greeting to someone. It's like we would say, hey man, I hope everything's going well for you and you're blessed. Okay? What is the precept or the principle that supports? Big principle of this is, guess what? If everything is well on the inside, things are going to work correctly and be blessed on the outside. Can I have a good amen? We get God first in the heart. If the soul of the church is healthy, everything else is going to help. If you're God first in your heart, if inside your heart is right with God and things are right, you're going to prosper. You're going to be blessed. There's a principle. God does want you to live a blessed life. But you cannot take that out of context and say that God wants everybody to be millionaires. Do you see what I'm saying? You can't make a doctrine out of that. That is a greeting in context. And if you looked at the precept and the principle, it supports. Now, it does support some great things. Guess what it says? There is prosperity, but with purpose. I pray that you're in health and prosperity, even as your what? Soul prospers. So in other words, your heart, God is first. You're following the purposes of God. Guess what? God does want to bless you. He does want to bless you financially. He does want you to be in good health. But that is a principle working with other principles. It's not this, you don't put that up there with God saves by grace. You don't put that up there that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Are you tracking with me on this? Okay? Same thing right here. Look at this. Matthew chapter 18:15, it says, you know, here's the thing. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault. And then it's going to go on and say, you know, if he doesn't hear you, take it to the church. Then it goes on to say, verse 18, you know, here's the whatever you bind in heaven, whatever you bound on earth will be bound. Whatever you bind on earth, will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you, if to agree on earth concerning anything done by it will be done. Amen. All right, so watch. Some powerful principles here at work. But what is the context of this? What is this talking about? It's talking about what? It's talking about someone that's sinned against you. There's a precept here. It is a corresponding action commandment. God's telling you this. Hey, if somebody has sinned against you, don't go blab it to somebody else. Don't go tell somebody else. Don't go call your girlfriends on the phone. What? Ooh. Ooh, I felt something. I dabbled in some business right there. I got a couple of looks like this. It says what? Go to that person. It's a precept. It's an action. It's a commandment with a core. Go to that person, okay? What is the principle here? It's talking about what? It's talking about reconciliation. It's talking about conflict resolution. What bigger doctrines does this support? This supports the doctrine of talking about church authority, talking about church discipline. Then it talks about these powerful, powerful principles where it talks about, man, that there could actually, so, you know, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, when we agree, and we talked about this in reference to 12-step groups and other things, that, man, when people agree according to the will of God, the authority of God is executed. Wow. Whatever we accept or don't accept, whatever, on this earth, when it's the will of God and two or three agree, wow, that releases the authority of God. Do you see? That's the context. This can be used for prayer, man. This can be used for small groups. This can be used for church discipline. This is a powerful, powerful thing. But you cannot take this binding, loosing scripture and bring it out of the context and make this a doctrine for battling evil spirits. You see, you err. Because you do not know the scriptures, precept, principle, doctrine, context, how they all work together, literal interpretation, practical application, or the power of God. Man, there is some huge power of God in here that you're missing because you've taken this out of context. Do you see? Let me tell you, great spiritual warfare. And I'm fine, you know, I'm fine. We're called to rebuke the enemy, cast out evil spirits and all that kind of stuff. But the way that people allow evil spirits or evil influence in their life, guess what? They've yielded to that. They've submitted to that. Do you see? And you know how we bring God into the picture to battle that? We call on God. I'm telling you right now, when you were praying for that UNF campus, when you were praying for those loved ones and whatever they're bound in and sin and pornography and all that, when you called on God, when you called on God, the conviction power of God to show up, guess what? Wherever God shows up, the enemy flees. Submit yourselves unto God and resist the devil and he will flee from you. So I don't think God gets caught up on language. You can say Biden the devil. God knows your heart. All that. I don't think he gets caught up on language. But what I'm saying is you can do that. That's fine. I think that that has some benefit if your heart's pure. But what I'm saying is don't miss out on all the other incredible power contained in this scripture. Do you see? Okay, now you're mad at me. Number two. Okay. Can we go fast on this one? This is my favorite one. We follow God's authority. Delegated spiritual authority. Here's why it's my favorite. Look at Hebrews 13, 17. Obey your spiritual leaders, Stovall, and do what they say. Obey Stovall and be nice to him. Bring Stovall food. No, listen. Take Stovall golfing. Take Stovall fishing. Take. Or I'll take a gift card. I'll. At least a cup of coffee. Okay, I gotta stop. No, listen. Watch. I'm only kidding. Watch. Obey your spiritual leaders. Do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls. So we follow God's word in the context of biblical accuracy. Secondly, we follow God's authority, being a good follower. Okay, watch. If you cannot submit to another man's vision, guess what? God is not going to have people come submit to your vision. This is a sowing, reaping principle here. Now, I want to say this in context. You know, if you've been coming to Celebration Church, I'm not talking about control. I'm not talking about doing things outside of the will and word of God. But what I'm talking about is a healthy respect for your spiritual leaders. This is difficult for me to preach about. But it is a healthy respect for your spiritual leaders and for the vision of the house. How many of you know when I'm telling you guys to be faithful to the house of God, how many of you know that's a good thing? How many of you know that's for your benefit? How many of you know tonight when I told you about that the church is the ground of the truth and not every religion that says they have Jesus is a Christian religion? And how many of you know that that's good for you to apply that? How many of you know when we talk about if you're struggling with addiction, getting in a 12-step group and getting free and all those things, how many of you know that's a good thing? Do you see? Look what it goes on to say here. Their work is to watch over your souls and look and know they are accountable to God. I want to just free up. This is so, so important. Did you know that your everything, your service at Celebration Church, your giving to Celebration Church, everything that you do, your impact, your influence, your hard work, did you know all that is you're serving God? Do you see what I'm saying? And even if we were to get off track, you know, if I would say, hey, let's do this, and we, you know, whatever, you know, we tried this outreach and it didn't work and we wasted some money and all that. Did you know I'm accountable for that, but guess what? You're off the hook. And now all that giving goes to God. All that energy is still a reward credited to your account. Isn't that good news for you? But look what it says. It says, give them reason to do this joyfully, please, and not with sorrow. Look, for this would not be for your benefit. See, it's all about your benefit. Look what it says. 2 Timothy chapter 1, 13. And I want to talk about, okay, how does that work? Okay, Stovall, we understand we obey the Bible and we want to follow our spiritual leaders. Let me just bring this a little bit deeper as we close here and almost close and talk about culture. Everybody say culture. Watch this. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. It says, hold fast the pattern of sound words that you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1 through 4, it says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the graces in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 1 and 2. It says, imitate me just as I imitate Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions. If you look at that word, it means more like, not like traditions of men, but it's talking about culture. Keep the traditions just as I delivered them from you. Every church has a culture. A culture is a rhythm or pattern of how things are done. How God has uniquely blessed that church that comes through the vision of that house that is based and grounded on the Word of God. It is the kind of the pattern or the rhythm. It is the dominating attitudes or behavior patterns of a certain group of people or organization. We have a culture here at Celebration Church. It's all on the foundation of what we call a God first culture. Are you following me? We have a God first culture, but out of that God first culture, there are things that you would say, hey, this is heated up. You know, it's like that water. Whatever you heat up, that steam gets into the atmosphere. You know, example, we're a passionate church. We believe in experiential worship. We are passionate for God. A lot of great churches, not every church is passionate. Are you following me here? But that will always be a part of our culture. If you're here at Celebration Church, even if you have a conservative personality, guess what? Paul talks about all of you never be lacking in zeal. We want you to, in your own personality, be passionate about God, be passionate about worshiping God, and be passionate about experiencing Him in worship. No matter how conservative you are, I understand you could be just like this. But man, on the inside, you're like, I'm fired up, man. It is on right now. You see. What are we also? We're a positive church. Negativity doesn't work here. The culture rejects that. That positive, optimistic attitude, that comes out of thankfulness. We're also, if you've been here, we're not a high-gloss church. We're a church in the raw. You know, we're a roll up your sleeves and get the job done. If our staff, I mean, it's not easy to be part of our staff. I'm just letting you know that right now. Our staff is very hardworking. It's very hardworking. People that come to our staff and they think, oh, good, I'm getting out of the corporate world. Well, I'm going to come. Let's love and pray. And you know what I'm saying? All that. They are in for a rude awakening. Okay? In a good way. We're very committed. We are very driven. We know we're driven by the light of eternity. We know that our time on earth here is short. We know that we're going to have to present each and every one of you to God. Our goal here is for you to become the person that God has called you to be. Are you with me? Are you following me? But here's the thing. Even though we're passionate for God and all these things, as you know, we're very user-friendly. We're very outward-focused. We have droves of people saved every weekend here at Celebration Church. We're going to see talking about following God, people taking that first step of following Jesus tonight. But that's part of our culture. We try to be user-friendly. We try not to use religious language or anything that would be a stumbling block to somebody else. And so just like the scripture it talked here, it says, look, take the pattern. He says, Timothy, I've given you a pattern. I've given you a culture. I've given you a way of doing things. Take this pattern and teach it to others. Everybody say, that's me. That's you. You're the Wednesday night, man. You are the others tonight who are able to faithful. It actually says faithful, able men, also women. And have them to communicate that to others. Watch this. That is a way that we follow God's delegated authority. There's God's absolute authority. I love to talk about authority. It'll really help you put... Can anybody just start a church? No. They need to be sent. They need to be confirmed by other senior pastors. And the same apostle means a sent one. A local church needs to send somebody. So many things about authority. When we follow our spiritual leaders, part of following that is saying, hey, what is the pattern here? Do you see? You add your uniqueness here, but guess what? You don't change the pattern. Are you hearing me? No, the pattern is, man, we're passionate for God. We're outward. We're going to reach people. We're positive. We're thankful. We're going to be unified. Are you following me? And the larger church gets, guess what? We've got to work. That's why the Apostle Paul's telling. He says, look, endure. Here's the pattern. Get it to other people that can communicate this. He says, but look, endure hardship as a good soldier. In other words, he says, look, Timothy, this is going to take work. The church is growing. The influence is expanding. So you got to get more people to carry that vision. You understand that you endure hardship. It is going to take work. Listen, gang, it takes work to stay in unity. And I'm charging everyone here tonight before God, because I think we can all sense where this year is heading. I'm telling you where it's heading. It's heading for a major explosion. Okay? I'm charging you to work hard at keeping the pattern here. Work hard at communicating the vision. Work hard in keeping the unity of the faith. Can I have a good amen? And the last thing here, I'm closing with this. We didn't get to this one, but it's probably the most important one. Well, they're all three important. Well, God's word's the most important. All right, I'll be quiet. Number three, we follow what? We follow God's love. And what this is, it says here in Romans chapter 14, 12, it says, each of us shall give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. And it goes on to say, to give an example of food sacrificed to idols, even though with you there might be not anything wrong with that, he says, if by you doing that, it causes an offense. It goes on to say, you are no longer walking in love. The keys to leadership, being a good follower. We follow God's word, biblical accuracy. We got to do your best, the Bible says, to present yourself approved. Number two, we follow our spiritual leaders, our spiritual authority. There is a benefit, huge benefit for us in that. We keep the pattern, we keep the culture. And number three, we follow God's love towards others. We're keeping the other. What we do, our conduct, what we say, where we go. Especially those of you who are leaders. When you are there, you are putting a stamp of approval on that meeting, on that thing, on whatever that is. You are putting Celebration Church's stamp of approval. Really what you're doing a lot is you're putting my stamp of approval. Do you see? Think about it. Okay? I charge you. Keep the pattern. This is the ground of the truth, man. We're going to do great things for God this year.